The following audio is from the weekly message at Summit Church in the upstate of South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
Good morning. How's it going? Time change was nice, right? This is the nice time change, except my kids didn't get the memo, right? They're young. They wake up early no matter what. So we were just up at 4 instead of 5, you know? For those who don't know me, my name is Jason, my wife Ashley over here. We've been privileged to call this place home, right? This is our church family here. For those who are new or relatively new, we have this rotation of speakers, and you might be confused by that, but there are teaching pastors that rotate through our different campuses, and even people like me who are not on staff who speak, just for the health of the body. Last time I was up here, you might have recalled me joking about, man, how'd this happen? How did I end up here? But it's actually been this really cool journey of spirit-led journey of people speaking truth in my life and how they see where I'm equipped so that, you know, for the good of the body. And that's this picture that we get in Ephesians 4, because that's where we've been going. Where it talks about being equipped, right? When each part is working properly, it makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love, right? And that's sort of the journey that I've been on. You guys are on it with me, but we're all on that, right? Trying to figure out our roles and where we fit and how we can use our gifts and skills for the good of each other, right? For the purposes of unity in Christ, right? And so that is the segue to Ephesians, because we're in Ephesians today. So if you've been with us, you know we're walking through it. We like to go through books of the Bible here. So if today specifically, we're jumping into passage chapter 4. You can go ahead and open up Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 is where we're going to start. We're going to take it through verse 32. I'll give you a moment to get there. Oh, also, my wife's cousin's here, and one of her daughters is considering Clemson. So Clemson fans out there, if you can come put in a good word. Gamecock fans, please refrain from talking to her on your way. Just trying to introduce division a little bit. I think opposite. It's always a bonus when I can get Doug to laugh, background laughter. Let's pray. Lord, open up our hearts to receive your word. I ask that the words that I speak be your words, and that you speak through me, and also in spite of me, right? I thank you for this body. May we be open to receive what you're saying to us today. In your name, amen. All right, so Ephesians 25. I'm just going to read it. I'm just going to jump in. And then we're going to do something a little bit different today. I'll get to that. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry. Okay, and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. It's good. It's good, right? Maybe you've noticed, if you've been walking through Ephesians with us, that this feels different than a lot of the passages that we've come up to this point. In fact, if we back up to just verse 22, just 22 through 32, there's 13 imperatives there. What are called imperatives? Like, do this, don't do that kind of stuff. But before that verse, there's only one in the rest of Ephesians. It's just been all this truth that seems abstract, but then we get here and it's the nitty-gritty of, if you remember Nathan talking about the old self last week, of are we still wrestling with that old self, or are we putting on the new self? Is the old self still haunting us? Well, how do we know? And here's kind of the evidence of that, right? Sort of the measure. And so what I'm going to do today is, instead of giving you all the background context, like I probably should, of what we've been talking to in Ephesians up to this point, I'm going to do something different than maybe the one other time I spoke. And it's this, I'm going to introduce two mindsets that I often have, like two views that I often have are heart conditions that are wrong, and how I use those to process the passage wrongly, right? Or incorrectly. Is wrongly? I feel like that's not a word. I get up here and everything just, it just goes. But anyways, we're going to process the passage through that view, and then I'm going to walk through what it really means to dig in. And then there's another mindset that I'm going to lay out as well that's wrong. And so what I want is for you guys to be equipped with how can you speak truth when you see yourself or someone else in that mindset? Like, how can we take the truth that we've been learning up until this point to speak into that, right? So that we can grow into this unity, so that we can build each other up, so that we can do what we're being called to do in this passage. So hopefully that'll make more sense as I go through this. If not, we can talk about it later in more detail if that's what you want to do. This first mindset, you can call it a lot of different things, but I'm going to call it I'm good, right? I'm going to call it I'm good. And I'm going to say it over here because this is probably the side of the people that need to hear it. No, I'm just kidding. This is the I'm good mindset, okay? And what do I mean by that? I'm not saying that I'm good and I don't need Jesus. I'm talking to a community of believers, right? I'm saying I'm good. I think I'm doing pretty well, right? When I read passages like this, where it's the tangibles, do this, don't do that, I read them and I'm like, yeah, I think I'm getting this thing right, you know? I think I'm measuring up to what I'm supposed to. I have this mindset. I may not say that, right? I know that I'm saved by grace alone, but I might think, hey, my works are kind of getting it done a little bit, right? So I come from this perspective of I'm good, and I might read it like this. I might say, all right, therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are made. Yeah, I feel like I do this. I mean, some people may not want to hear the truth, but I feel like I'm speaking truth to people, you know, maybe in a way that they don't really like. I don't know. I think I'm doing that. Be angry and do not sin. Yeah, I'm not like going up to people and going to these episodes of rage and cursing people. Like, yeah, I think I'm doing pretty good, right? Give no opportunity to the devil. Okay, yeah. Let the thief no longer steal. Totally agree with that. Thieves should not be stealing, right? But rather let them labor doing honest work. Yes, yeah, that thief should get a job, right? And maybe as a community of believers, we should, you know, help that person find honest work, whoever that person is. Do you see what I'm doing here? Do you see how I'm reading it? Maybe not. So let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that may give grace to those who hear. Yeah, I think I'm good with that, right? I mean, I don't walk around saying a lot of nasty things to people. I don't feel like I do. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit. I'm not sure exactly what that one is, but maybe, okay, bitterness and wrath. Okay, yeah, I don't feel like I'm going around with a lot of anger and wrath and malice. Be kind to one another, forgiving one another as God in Christ. Okay, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgive you. A little bit of a tall order. I think I do, in general, a pretty good job forgiving people. Maybe not like God does, but I think I'm good, right? And even in prepping for this sermon, went through this passage. And the verse, it's pretty much all about words and money's right in the middle, right? It's about words and money, if you look at it. But the verse 28, let the thief no longer steal, that was probably one that when I first read, I was like, what in the world am I going to talk about? I might spend the most time in that verse today, even though when I first looked at this, because it was almost from that I'm good mindset, I had no idea what I was going to say when it came to that. So now I want you to think, can you kind of see where I'm coming from when I'm in the I'm good mindset? Can you kind of see what I'm... Okay, I know I can read the Bible and know what's true, but still operate from this old self, right? So what truths, when I'm in this phase, do I need to hear? If I am somebody in your circle, right, in your life group or that you're coming in contact, what truths do I need to hear? Well, we've been for weeks, for those who have been here, look back in the Ephesians chapter 1 and 2 and 3. I'll give you a moment, and I'm good with wait time because I used to teach high school students. And college students, and at 8 o'clock in the morning, college students don't usually like to participate, so I was good at waiting, awkward silence, but I want you to just look through those chapters and tell me what truth, somebody, like, shout it out, I can repeat it for the purposes of the recording if I need to, but what truth do I need to hear? You guys didn't know you were going to be participating today, did you? This is what happens when you don't have a pastor up here. I'll wait. What truth, when I'm in that mindset, what truth do I need to hear? Yeah. Yeah. Right? It's not my work. What else? Look at Ephesians. Is there anything from Ephesians here that says something along those lines? God is sovereign. Yeah. What else? Ephesians 2, you said 3 through 5? Yeah. Yeah, actually a lot of that, right? You keep going. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Do you guys see how that's speaking into where I am? Would I say I believe that it's works? No. But am I operating out of that old mindset? Yeah. Do I use that to then create a profile for how I think the Christian life should be walked and then turn and judge, view other people through that, like an Instagram filter? You know, I'm like looking at everybody through this filter, whether you're measuring up or not. Do I then do that? So this is what I need to hear, right? Right? So then let's go ahead and look at the passage through that lens, the lens of humility, right? In James it says to submit ourselves before the Lord, draw near to him and he will draw near to us. The humility part comes first. Right? So now let's look through this, not thinking I'm good, right? This doesn't really apply to me. In fact, if you're in small group, you go through a passage like this and you come out and you're like, yeah, I agree with everything here. I mean, yeah, I think we're doing a pretty good job, right? If you hear that, like, why are we even here? Should we talk about something else now? Because I think if you hear that, like, that we should proceed with caution, because maybe we're essentially saying we don't need to grow anymore. Maybe we're essentially saying, I mean, I'm basically Jesus, right? It sounds preposterous when I word it that way, but that's kind of what we're doing, right? We're talking, if you back up in chapter 4, because this passage does start with therefore, if you back up, right, we have to see what it's flowing out of. It talks about growth, right? What do we know about growing? I've got a little boy that when he comes down sometimes at night, this happens periodically, he can't sleep because his legs are aching and just in a throbbing pain. And he's describing it to us, and we try to comfort him and eventually take him back up. And we realize it's growing pains, right? Is growth comfortable? I don't think so. I don't want growth. That's why I go to this phase sometimes. It's challenging. It's uncomfortable. You have to put new clothes on because you're growing out of the old ones, right? It's not, it's something that sometimes I want to avoid, right? And if people are speaking truth in my life, maybe then I want to avoid them as well. So if we're, the good gut check, right, for this mindset is, where is the Lord currently growing you right now in your walk with him? And if you don't know, like maybe you're like me. Maybe this is one of your issues, right, that you fall into sometimes. So now let's approach it with humility and asking that question. All right, Lord, reveal to us where we can grow in this, okay? So let's walk through the passage now under the right lens. So therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. What's truth? It's what you guys were just doing, right? It's the gospel. It's what we've been doing walking through Ephesians. That's truth. Right? How do we do it? Well, I mean, we just need to at least be honest with one another, right? We don't need to be... How we say it, does that matter? You guys just waiting for me to give you all the answers. All right, fine. Back up to the beginning of chapter 4. How are we to do it? With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit... And the bond of peace, eager to maintain the union. Is that how I deliver truth sometimes? And am I even thinking of others and like how they're equipped to fit in different roles in the body? Am I even participating in life group or places where this can even be an opportunity? Or am I just looking to either distance myself or to actually like not just hang out for the purposes of having fun, but for the purposes of building up each other as we both grow into that unity, into the head who is Jesus Christ, right? Right? So it's a little bit different picture there. Then we get into this. Be angry. What in the world? Be angry. I've never heard that from the Bible. Be angry. Well, I guess if you've read this passage, you have. But be angry and do not sin. That sounds like we have a license to be angry with one another. Is that what this is saying? But then we have to remember, Jesus said, anyone who's angry with his brother is liable to judgment, right? Then we have to remember James, where it says, anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires, right? Man's anger, right? So we need to remember that and read it through that lens. This is actually quoting Psalms chapter 4. So you can spend time in it this week. And the psalmist there, it's about words, right? Words within the body, this passage, a lot of it is about words. And this man has been wrongly accused of something, and he feels the hurt and the pain that is inflicted on him by the words of others. And he just turns to the Lord, and he's like, my heart is full of anger and hurt. And he cries out to God, and God replaces his heart with a heart of joy and peace. And that's the picture we get in Psalms 4, and that's what we're talking about here, right? So it says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And if I'm in the I'm good phase, I will gloss through that. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. I'll turn that into some filter that I use to look at other people. Like, okay, when I was early married, I don't know if I did this exactly, but I know that I very much could have done this, right? In our early years of marriage, totally could have gotten in a fight, right? And then knowing this passage, wake up the next day, and I'm fine, right? I'm over it. I'm over. No longer angry. Anybody identify with that? But my wife is still, like, we didn't work it out. We didn't, no reconciliation. You know, she's still upset about it. And I'm like, look, I guess I was in the right because you're still angry, right? It says, don't let the sun go down. This is what we do, right? And we're looking through that filter, like, you're still angry. And it says, look, the sun went down. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about to get over your anger quickly, right? To work it out quickly, not to just not be angry because you just ignored it. What's that going to do? It's going to turn into bitterness. It's going to fester, right? But if I'm in that I'm good phase, that's what I'm doing, right? It's more about this. Anger is a masking emotion. So it's realizing we're angry, right? Like letting it pass through us while we try to figure out the source of the anger. Is it hurt? Is it frustration? Is it grief? Is it any number of things? Because we have these all these different relationships with all these different people, and it's complex, right? And it may just always constantly come out as anger, but we need to get to the root. We need to address the source if we're actually going to be able to move towards forgiveness and reconciliation. Does that make sense? Right? But if I'm over here, I'm just like, yeah, I mean, I don't really get angry that much, right? Maybe I just ignore things, and then it festers and turns into bitterness, right? Okay, let's keep going. This is fun. Let the thief... Oh, no, give no opportunity to the devil. Man, what's a huge part of that? We all have blind spots, right? If I'm in the I'm good phase, man, I don't really want to hear about how I'm messing up because I don't really think that I am. But what I need, so I'm not giving opportunity to the devil, is people speaking truth in my life, right? That's what I need. That's what you need, right? Okay, let the thief no longer steal. Man, where am I going to go with this one? But rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Oh, so it's like stewarding your money well for the purposes of being generous to people in need. Let the thief no longer steal. When I first read this, it's almost as if I have this picture that in Ephesus, it's a whole bunch of professional thieves that just, you know, found Jesus and now they're in the church and they, you know, it's to the point to where Paul feels like he needs to address it specifically. Like, we have all these thieves, so, you know, you should probably get honest work, right? That's not all what he's addressing here. That's not at all the picture. Like, he's talking about the mundane things in everyday life and he's just calling it out for what it is, like being a thief. And he's, one commentator goes through what this would look like in first century. And they lay out things like, hey, we sell things. If we're going to sell things, then we got to fill the bottle up. Maybe we're just going to underfill it a little bit, right? Maybe we're just going to hold back a little bit. Maybe we're going to pocket some money, and whoever our boss is or whatever, we're not exactly going to tell them everything or report everything to taxes and things like that, because it may not even be malicious. Maybe we're just worried about taking care of our families or something of that sort. It could just be that, right? Anxiety driven, which is, like you said, sovereignty, right? Not trusting in the sovereignty of the Lord, not trusting in his provision for our lives, right? So it could be that, right? And let's bring it to modern day. What about, expense reports, right? Are we honest on those for companies that we work for? What about taxes? You guys remember when Amazon first came out and online purchases? We had to report the taxes to the state, and it's super easy. Like, how much did I buy online? It's probably only $50, right? It's really easy. Nobody's laughing anymore. Am I getting a little too close to home? It's so easy to rationalize this stuff. Grumble, grumble, government. Grumble, grumble, big business. You know, it's so easy to rationalize it and to just kind of hold back and say, but it's all His. We can trust in His provision. If He's called us to give, we can give it, and then we can do that in turn to be generous to other people, right? Because He will take care of us. And so maybe that's not even you. Maybe you're still over here like, dude, I'm good. I'm pretty good at being honest and reporting things the way that I should, or not taking from others and not really holding on to things. But then there's this call to be generous to the people in need, right? And this could look like a lot of different things. In our life group, we have some couples that are really passionate about being missionally minded. And so they brought that in, those convictions, right? And they didn't come in and say, hey, why aren't you giving more to the community, right? They didn't come in and view us through that lens of condemnation, say, hey, why aren't you giving more? No, they said, hey, we have this conviction about doing a little bit more in our local community. And they brought that before us, and we've been praying. And there's couples that have this desire to reach out to for foster and adoption and everything. So sort of merge those, and we've decided to be, through prayer and discernment, generous to organizations that support families that foster, right, and provide needs for them, right? So we've decided to do that. But it could have looked very different. It could have been they came in and said, why aren't you doing this specifically and being generous in this way? You really should be. Am I telling you that all the life groups should walk out of here and then give to the same organization we're giving to? Is that what I'm saying? No, I'm saying, like, as a community, approach this passage together to see where the Lord's challenging you to do more for those in need, right? We're going to talk about orphans today. That's an opportunity. I'm going to take this one more place, and it's going to be a little bit less comfortable. But know that I'm not asking you to do exactly what I'm doing. I'm asking you to look, where is the Lord asking me to do a little bit more, right? To be a little bit more generous to those in need. And it was, I had a sister in Christ. She's still alive. So I have a sister in Christ. I guess even if she died, she would still be a sister in Christ because of eternity and all that stuff. I didn't mean to go down that rabbit hole. Whatever. She's in Chicago. We used to live in Chicago. And 6 or 7 years ago, I remember talking about this conviction she had about where she bought her clothes. And I was like, why? And she said, you know, because of just companies that take advantage of their employees. And I thought, I think I've heard something about that. Ended up, like, not for me, but, you know, eventually started feeling convicted about it. And so I thought, all right, I already hate shopping, and now we've added a research component to it. Are you kidding me? But I did some research, and here's one story. This one woman in a certain country working 12 hours a day for over a decade and still only earning barely over a quarter an hour, like a quarter, 25 cents an hour, and trying to support a brother on a disability and trying to support parents, and like starvation's a reality for them. Maybe I can be generous by just thinking about where I buy my clothes, and maybe it means just buying one thing instead of multiple things, because it does end up being a little more expensive, and supporting businesses that are more responsible with the people that they're employees, like paying them a livable wage, right? And I don't want you to walk out of here and think, hey, look, this guy, like he said, this is what we have to do, this is how we have to live out our generosity. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, with humility, approach this passage and say, Lord, where are you revealing to me in my life where I can be challenged to do more, to be more generous, right? It doesn't have to look like exactly how we've talked about doing things, right? And at 6 or 7 years later, I still don't really do that perfectly, right? It's almost impossible in our consumerist society. But I will say this, like, live opposite the culture that says, let's buy as much as possible for as little as possible, right? Let's flip that, right? Let's just think about how we can be more generous to those around us, right? And it might look different for you than for me, but that's where this I'm good phase is. We have to peel that back and then also not be harsh on each other to say, no, you got to do it like this. Does that make sense? Because then that becomes what? That becomes corrupting talk, right? Finally got out of that verse, I know. Verse 29, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. What if somebody came to me from my life group, or one of you guys, and says, I'm going to give you a present, right? You know, I just felt like I want to be super generous to you, and, you know, here's a shirt. I'm size small, by the way, if anybody's taking notes, S-M-A-L-L, I don't know. Give you a moment, right? No, I'm just kidding. What if I then started looking at, hey, where's this thing made? And I just became super harsh and critical of that. What does that do to my brother or sister in Christ? I took some conviction that I was having, and I turned it into something where I could just shame and destroy them, right? Out of their love for me and their generosity, that's horrible. There's no eagerness to maintain unity in that, right? That's corrupting talk, but that's what we do, right? That's what we do. And shaming them, as one commentator said, the Spirit dwells within, so shaming them by extension, we're shaming the Spirit that's trying to bring about unity, right? That's heavy. That's this next verse of grieving the Spirit that they're talking about, right? Grieving the Holy Spirit. It's also resisting the transformation process within us, right? Resisting what the work of the Spirit in our own life as we continue to make us more like Jesus, right? Because we're not basically like Jesus yet. So let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths. It could be grumbling. It could be complaining. There's a whole, like, this is stuff you unpack together this week in life group. Figure this out together. What does that look like in your life? Dig deeper. Don't just stay surface level in the I'm good phase with it. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Yeah, I'll let you guys unpack that one this week. I'm not really going to go too much in it. But I would like to say, man, may we be a people that is described by verse 32, kind with one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave us. Like, that's a tall order. As God, like, we hang on to the words that people say to us. We hang on to them. The words matter. Like the sticks and stones thing, you know, like, that's not true. The words matter. You're playing back stuff that you heard from 10, 20 years ago, right? What would it look like to forgive people within this body for the things that they've said to you that maybe you took as offense, right? What would it look like? I guarantee God has forgiven you of way more than what anybody will ever do to you, right? And that's what we're called to do, to forgive like that. I am not in this phase anymore. That was heavy. That was a lot, right? Maybe it's not for you, but man, that was a lot. And if you sit and meditate in these passages and you allow yourself to listen, like, that's what happens. And we'll realize, okay, so I'm not good, right? But that's actually my second mindset. I'm not good. And you might say, wait, you just spent an inordinate amount of time detailing how I'm not good. And now you're telling me that's a false mindset? Well, yeah, in a sense. Like, over here, it was, I'm good because of my works, right? And then we had to say, no, that's not true. I'm good because of Christ and what he did on the cross, right? But over here, it's, I'm not good, and why is it I'm not good? Sometimes I fall into this because of my works, because I am so overwhelmed with the weight of my sin. It feels so big and so bad that I feel unredeemable, right? It's still sourced in pride. Right, I feel like my sin is so bad that Christ cannot forgive me for it, right? Or that God cannot forgive me for it. Like, Christ, what Christ did on the cross was not enough. And I live in this. Anybody ever feel the weight of that? Like, you just go over and over all your failings. You approach lists like this, and all you see are the ways that you fall short. We've all fallen short. That's what I need to hear over here. And over here, well, yeah, that as well. But you know what? There's hope in that. Well, what is the hope? I'm going to make you give me the truth before in a minute, but what I want to do is, how do I look at this then? When I'm in that phase, just dwelling on the guilt and the shame, there is a place for spiritual conviction, right? There's a place for that. And there's a place for grieving our sin and the effects on the community. There's a place for that. And understanding that and confessing to one another and working towards reconciliation. But we don't get to that phase if we're in the I'm not good. We just dwell on the guilt. We dwell on the weight of everything. And it says, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. All I see are the times that I didn't do that. All I see are the failures. Somebody asked me to meet and say, hey, I'm going through a tough time, and then I realize what's happened and how I've just totally missed it. Even though I'm meeting with all these other people, I might feel like, man, this is my fault. Like, I totally missed that they were going through this tough time, right? A few years ago, this was before we moved here, I had a cousin who, he had a rough life. He was, at a very young age, got sucked up into drugs and a lot of other things. And so he's trying to get things turned around, right? And he would start calling me, because we didn't live close to each other. We were in Chicago. He would start calling me 2 or 3 in the morning. That's always a fun time to get a phone call. And we actually had a baby during this time, our first one. And so that's, I'm up because of the baby, or I'm up 2 or 3 in the morning getting a call from him. And we would talk. We would talk about Jesus, and we talk for hours and about faith. But there's times I didn't pick up, right? There's times that, and I feel the weight and the guilt of that because he overdosed. Whew. You see, I still carry it. I feel the weight of, like, maybe I could have said something more. Maybe I could have done more, picked up more, despite the hours that Jesus says, you know what? It's not you who saves people or changes people. That's the pride in you. Do you not get it? Yeah, you go where I call you. You speak encouragement where I call you, but you are finite. That's why I'm here. I'm infinite. You're viewing this as the measure, and it is the measure. But Jason, it's not you I'm measuring. I'm measuring Jesus. He lived the perfect life for you. Does that make sense? So when I'm in this mindset of thinking, man, it says be angry and do not sin. Like, I yelled at my kids, or I was harsh on them, and I'm just overwhelmed. Like, I've screwed them up for life, right? I feel like this. Everything's out of this depressed state, right? And I'm not talking about clinical depression. I'm just talking about, I'm overwhelmed with how imperfect I am, right? What do I need to hear? Keep it to Ephesians. Look back in the first few chapters of Ephesians. What truths do I need to hear in those moments? If I'm somebody in your circle and you're recognizing this mindset, what do I need to hear? I'm really asking you guys. I know you don't come here to actually participate, but I'm making you. So this is where I get to figure out where in the world I am in my notes. What do I need to hear? Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, first part of chapter 1. Oh, that's good. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly place, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless. He chose us before the foundation of the world. Man, let that be your value and your worth. When we put it in works, yeah, there might be times where we feel like this, right? When we put it in what we've done, but let that speak value and worth to your life. That's the truth we need to hear. Not the platitudes like, no, you're really a good person. Remember all these nice things that you do? Because then that's still putting me in this mindset of works. Like, I'm good or not good based on my works, right? No, you're really a good person. No, I don't need to hear that. I need to know you are loved and chosen and forgiven. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you do because of that. And then don't use that as a license to sin, right? Right? We don't use our freedom. Right? Anyways. So those are the two mindsets, right? You see them, be able to recognize them in one another. There's the I'm good because of what I do, and I'm not good because of what I do. And then how we approach passages like this, where it's the do's and do nots, we have to be wary of both and how to speak truth into one another's life, right? These false mindsets are from the old self. They still haunt us, right? And they will until the day we're with Jesus, right? And we have to be ready for that, and we have to be prepared, and we have to walk through it together. They both fail to grasp the truth that our total dependency is in Christ. They both fail to grasp that, right? Everything we do over here, we think we just don't need Christ, or we're doing great, and we're not acknowledging him as the credit. And over here, it's like it feels helpless because we just don't realize that we can be dependent on him, that we can rest in him and who he is, right? So as you talk about this passage this week in your life groups, if you're not in a life group, please come up to me and talk to me about that. Be wary of the incorrect filters also that we apply to each other and even for how we think God views us when we're in these mindsets. We are slowly growing into oneness, into him who is the head, Jesus Christ. And that's something that we have to do together as a community through speaking truth and building each other up and encouraging each other, right? That's something we have to do together. And if you find yourself falling into these mindsets, flood yourself with truth and reach out, right? It's not something to do in isolation. Reach out and speak truth to one another to ward it off, right? Both of these myths that we must just rest in our dependency on him. That's what it means to be in Christ. That's what it means to make Christ the center of everything in your life, right? And not being overwhelmed, right? There are days where even though Christ is the single most important thing in my life, where I don't mention him or the gospel to anybody around me, in my community or my kids, and I think, man, you know, I mean, it says even in Deuteronomy, teach your kids, like, when you're sitting, when you're standing, when you're walking, like, all the time, et cetera, et cetera. And I just won't even mention anything, and I get overwhelmed by that. But I have to remember it's out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. And I have to recognize when that happens, it's maybe because I'm not feeding myself this. I'm not meditating in this. Garbage in, garbage out, right? Sit, meditate. Ask people to do that with you and stay in the same passage. You don't have to read a ton. You could just sit in it and get into the nuances of it and allowing the Spirit to speak through that to you, right? Does that make sense? I'm going to do one thing before I pray. And what I want you to do is just close your eyes and sit there without falling asleep, which is going to be really hard because they're super comfortable. Chairs, I'm going to read a verse from a song, favorite song of mine. I have lots of favorite songs. Not my absolute favorite. I don't need to go into that. But it's a verse from a song that I think I need to hear, right, when I'm in some of these mindsets. And I float. Look, I presented both these mindsets because I have both of these issues. So if you're just one of these issues, that's great. I have both of them. Some days I'm over here. Some days I'm over here. And some days it just depends on the minute, right? That's why I'm able to present this, is because it's out of my own brokenness and messed upness, right? Just turn that into a word. But this is what I do, is I listen and I turn to things that speak truth into my life, that fight that, that combat that, that remind me of who I am in Christ. So I want you to close your eyes and listen to this, and listen not just for you, but for your neighbor, okay, as well, who is in this body. And then also, at the end of it, I'll pray. Yeah, I understand what it means to be branded as a biblical man, but I can't stand the fact that I still try to live up to man's standards. It's really hard for me to be perceived as needy when everyone around me seems to be succeeding while making life look so easy. I'm constantly fighting this feeling of failing as a father and this feeling of falling short as a husband, this sort of never measuring up. Of course, it's all in my mind. It's just an expression of my pride, yet I get it. But it's still hard for me to admit it sometimes. I get so tired of taking refuge in my own strength while standing with the weight of my insecurities on my back until my bones break. It won't make a difference to my situation as a whole, whether I tend to hold it together for the moment or pretend to be in control. God, mold me into a man who holds fast to your everlasting hands. Give me the strength that I need to get past my circumstances. God, rescue me. Make my desperate attempts cause me to confess my dependence. And may the depths of my weakness make strength perfected. Almighty God, omnipotent, you are my confidence. You are my confidence. I am so convinced you hold me in my helplessness. Father, may we receive your words. This week, work in and through this body to show us how we can do this, how we can encourage and build one another up and speak truth into each other's lives that brings us to that unity that you desire for us, right? That holds out division, that holds out the corrupt talk that destroys, right? That word, it actually evokes this imagery of just rotting fruit or rotting meat. And to hold out that rottenness that we see in the world and instead chase after you together, right? Looking for ways that we can continue to grow and be molded into your image. Man, may that be so for us. It is in your gracious and holy name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining for this week's message. Summit Upstate's mission is to give every man, woman, and child the repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. We'd love to connect with you, so we invite you to reach out to us at summitupstate.org.